Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful sunny day this morning. And after yesterday, it's good to see the sunshine outside. Amen?
Amen.
It is good to gather in the warmth of His presence this day. And as we worship this morning, I want to welcome you to our time of worship on this last Sunday in September. I think maybe the fall weather has finally started to arrive. The coolness of the weather in the evenings, the leaves are starting to fall. And if you live in my neighborhood, when you see those leaves starting to fall, you think, God, I love the wonder, beauty of this creation, but I dread this time of year. God bless this time of year. But anyway, it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Thank you for those that are joining us this morning on Facebook Live. If you are joining us this morning virtually, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. Pull up our worship bulletin this morning. Use that as a resource for today. For those that are gathering in our sanctuary this morning, if you're a first-time guest with us, fill out a visitor's card. If you're watching us online for the first time, send me an email this week. Let me know how you've decided to join us for worship. Let me follow up with you this week as well. I also want to share with our church family a first that will take place this afternoon. We, along with the other Elon churches in our community, are partnering together to provide a worship opportunity at Blakey Hall on every Sunday afternoon at 1:30. Some of our fellow Elon churches have been doing this for a while now, and at an Elon ministers meeting last month, they came to a couple of our other churches, myself included, for First Baptist Elon, and they said, we would love to be able to provide worship every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 at Blakey Hall in what they call the big house, the big building at Blakey Hall. And so this is something that we've taken on here at First Baptist Elon. So starting today, every fourth Sunday of every month, First Baptist Elon will be leading worship in the big building at Blakey Hall on the second floor. So I ask that you be in prayer for us today. I, myself, and Gay, and Bert, our piano player, and Leslie, one of our choir members, will be going over to lead worship at Blakey Hall on the second floor. You're welcome to come if you would like to. You'll be singing a lot of the same songs we're singing in worship. I will go ahead and confess, you'll be hearing the same sermon I'm preaching in the worship service today. But if you'd like to join us for a time of worship this afternoon at Blakey Hall, you're more than welcome to. We're going to be gathering over there about 1:15. The worship service will begin at 1:30. They'll be in prayer for us. We'll be doing this the fourth Sunday of every month is First Baptist Elon Sunday at Blakey Hall. We're looking forward to this time of opportunity. Also going on this afternoon, this evening, tonight at 5 p.m., we'll be continuing our Bible study for our adults, the Gospel of Mark. Tonight we're looking at chapters 8 through 10. That'll be at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Youth will be meeting. Youth Intensity will be meeting tonight at 5:30 p.m. in the youth room. Choir, just a reminder, choir practice will be this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And also something else you'll notice for this week in your bulletin this morning, Saturday will be the first of our work days as we prepare for homecoming, which is only 2 weeks away. We're excited about that Sunday, but we're going to do some prep work in advance. So this coming Saturday, we'll be gathering here at the church at 7:30 a.m. between 7:30 and 8. One of the main jobs we'll be doing this Saturday, assuming the weather cooperates, is spreading some pine straw around the church grounds, around some of the bushes and the plants around around this property. If you can come Saturday morning, please, the more help, the better. And also, we'll be doing some additional work as well. So if you can come out and help out for a couple hours Saturday morning, please. I hope to see you Saturday morning for that time of work on Saturday. We'll also have some additional work days. You'll see hear more about those next Sunday morning. If you notice, our September Missions In Gathering is wrapping up this week. If you brought items for the Alamance Regional Cancer Center food pantry. Thank you in advance. If you still have some items that you would like to bring, make sure you bring them early this week, because we'll be delivering those items middle of this week. And then you'll notice on the back of your bulletin our collection for the month of October, which is for the residential treatment services of Alamance. Those items that are needed are printed on the back of your bulletin. They'll also be located in your October newsletter that will be coming out hopefully at the end of this week. So make sure pick up some of those items, and the collection bins will be located in the communication center and upstairs in the fellowship hall. You'll also notice that those items, along with collection items for our bingo ministry that we have an ongoing ministry for, you have some items there you can drop off as well. Many of you have already stopped by to check the roster for our pictorial directory. Thank you for that. If you have not stopped by that table out there just to look at the pictorial directory roster, please do so today. Today is that final Sunday where we have to get everything correct, everything listed as appropriate, or just a simple check mark by your information, because that information will be sent in this week as we send all the information in as they start putting our pictorial directory together. Be in prayer for that opportunity. Last but not least, October newsletter. If you have items that you would like to put in the October newsletter, please make sure you get those items to Janice today. Email them to her, or definitely by tomorrow. Make sure you get those items to her so we can have those items in the newsletter by the time they get sent out later this week. Homecoming, October 8th. Mark your calendar. You'll hear more about that next week. Now we gather this morning to lift praise to the one who is worthy of our worship this morning. Let's sing praise to him this day.
Our opening hymn this morning is Worthy of Worship, and we'll sing all three stanzas. Let's stand.
Thank you.
goes without saying, but it's good to have Gay back with us this morning. If you did not know, she's sitting over here this morning. You may not have been able to see her, but she is going to be guiding and leading in our worship songs this morning. Our opening scripture reading today comes from Psalm 145, reading verses 1 through 7 today. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. May we joyfully sing of God's righteousness today as we gather in worship this morning. Let us pray this day. Great is our God and worthy of our praise. God's goodness knows no limit. God's faithfulness toward us is boundless. God, your majesty and glory surround us here, and we've come together to celebrate your presence and to offer songs of praise and worship. We've come to rejoice in your mighty acts and to retell the story of your goodness throughout history and in our own lives today. Move among us as we worship together. May your Spirit guide and inspire our thoughts and our actions as we spend this time in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is probably one of the most famous hymns ever written, Amazing Grace. Let's stand and sing all the verses.
Thank you.
I know that many of you have had the opportunity to stop by our table in the foyer the past couple weeks, but if you have not, I would encourage you to take a moment either today, next Sunday, or on homecoming Sunday up in the fellowship hall as we continue to take orders for our new First Baptist Elon t-shirts. Now, we may be calling them our 75th anniversary t-shirts, but it's been quite a few years since we put together a First Baptist Church of Elon t-shirt, and our hope is that this t-shirt will be something that's not just for this year, but for next year and the many years and years to come. So we've designed it in a way that it commemorates our 75 years in ministry, but it also will be something that we can use and reorder for many years to come. However, we want you to get in on the ground floor. We want you to get it while it's hot. Get it while it's new. So I encourage you as you leave today, if you have a chance, stop by the table. The t-shirts, short sleeve and long sleeve. Short sleeve t-shirts are $10 each, and they come in three different colors. They come in navy blue, green, and heather berry, which I didn't know there was such a color known as heather berry. It's basically a darker pink is what heather berry is. But those are $10 each. Those are the short sleeve colors. For the long sleeve t-shirts, those t-shirts are $15 each, and you can get those shirts in navy blue and like a charcoal gray. But I encourage you, if you have a moment, stop by the table today. You don't have to pay today. You can stop by and place your order and then bring your money next week or the week after. If you want to pay with a check, you can make it out to the church. But our goal is to have as many orders as we can by Sunday, October 8th, which is our homecoming Sunday. And then we'll place our order to have those t-shirts to come in shortly afterwards. But it's a great opportunity. It's a great gift. You can give it to anyone. Maybe it's a great way to share the word of who we are here at First Baptist Elon. So take a moment, stop by the table if you have not already. Now, this time I'll call on Deacon Leslie Cornell for our offertory prayer.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you lift us up and have blessed us with this ministry in the church for 75 years. We thank you for our pastors, leaders, and teachers who nurture us spiritually. We thank you for each member who uses their spiritual gifts to bless others. We thank you for the wonderful, rich fellowship we enjoy with each other and together with you. We give our tithes and offerings to you now to support the ministry of this church in our community and abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, choir, for our special music today. If you would, join me in prayer this morning before we go to God's Word. In the times when we give, however generously it becomes blatantly clear, O God, how ridiculous our attempts are to balance the scales. We cannot repay your abundance of supply, your extravagance of grace, nor do you require it. So why should we expect it of others? In truth, we cannot. Like you, we can only love by giving, by serving, by praying. And so we ask this day, restore the fallen in our world and in our hearts. Strengthen the merciful in our world and in our hearts. Heal the broken in our world and in our hearts. Uplift the lowly in our world and in our hearts. Bring down the tyrants in our world and in our hearts. Erase the lines of division in our world and in our hearts. Create a Christ-guided humanity in our world and in our hearts. And use us to make it so. In Jesus' name we pray this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this September Sunday morning. This morning we're going to examine one of the most difficult parables that Jesus spoke during his ministry. One that challenges us to rethink about what is fair in this world. But before we do, one of the most common internet urban myths that spread by email began many years ago is that Microsoft founder Bill Gates, we've all heard of his name before, right? We all know who Bill Gates is, right? That he once spoke at a high school graduation and shared some practical life rules. In reality, Bill Gates never spoke at a high school graduation and he never shared these rules, but instead, a California educator by the name of Charles Sykes actually spoke at a high school graduation and created the rules that were attributed to Gates. So using Dr. Sykes' list this morning, here is what he labeled the top 7 life rules that you will not learn in high school. Here they are. They're on the screen behind me. They may be a little bit small, so here they are. Rule number 7, television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave this coffee shop and go to jobs. That's a shout out to all my friends, TV watchers out there. Rule number 6, life is not divided into semesters. You do not get summers off, and very few employers are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time. Rule number 5, if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault, so don't whine about your mistakes. Learn from them. Rule number 4, flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity. Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity. Rule number 3, if you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. He or she does not have tenure. Rule number 2, be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one. That's why it's commonly, probably why it was attributed to Bill Gates. And finally, rule number 1 that you will not learn in high school, life is not fair. So get used to it. When Charles Sykes was asked how he felt to know that everyone from Ann Landers to Paul Harvey wrongly attributed his list to Bill Gates, he simply said this, I don't get upset because, hey, life isn't fair, so I'm used to it. Sykes says that the average teenager uses the phrase, "it's not fair," 8.6 times a day. And we laugh about that, but my question here is this. How many times do adults use it? Or how many times do adults think it? The words may not come out of your mouth, but how many times does it go across your mind? He says, the kids got it from their baby boomer parents, who were the most idyllic generation ever. It's not fair that some people are taller or faster, and some can eat gallons of Ben and Jerry's ice cream without gaining a pound. It's not fair that some high school dropout turned actor may make more money on one bad movie than all the high school teachers in Alamance County combined. It's not fair. Or we may complain, I've been with my company for years, decades even, and that young upstart is the one who gets the promotion. It's not fair. I've been a good parent, and I've raised my child in church, and they have rebelled against God. It's not fair. I live a clean life. I've never smoked, and now the doctor tells me I have lung cancer, while my uncle smoked a pack a day for 30 years, and he's perfectly fine. It's not fair. Life isn't fair, but our God is good. Let me repeat that again. Life isn't fair, but our God is good. In our parable today, Jesus is going to demonstrate the truth of that statement. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 this morning. The words will be on the screen behind me as well. And as you turn there, we actually need to read the final verse in chapter 19 that sets the scene for this parable. Now, if you remember, chapters and verses in the Bible were not there originally when the author wrote it. They weren't there. He didn't write, all right, this is chapter 20, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Chapters and verses were actually added in about the 13th century. And they were added for our benefit, not for the original writer or for the original audience. So in my opinion, and in many scholars' opinion, this is one of those divisions that probably never should have taken place. 1830 should have been, and I'm sorry, 1930 should have actually been added to 20 verse 1 and verses 1 through 16, because what we'll read here in 1930 is actually repeated again in chapter 20 verse 16, the last verse of this parable. Matthew 19:30 says this, Jesus said, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Now, listen to the words of Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work at his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Apologize for a moment. First, let's set some definitions of the time and the amount. First, early in the morning would have been around 6 a.m. when he hired those first workers. The third hour, 9 a.m., the sixth hour, noon, the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and that 11th hour would have been a 5 p.m. He agreed to pay each worker a denarius, which was approximately, in our day and time, $100 for their day labor. All received a denarius, $100 for their work. Now, when we think about what the workers were paid, our immediate response to that story is, hey, that's not fair. That's not fair. But notice, Jesus did not say, this is what the kingdom of the world is like. He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Heaven uses different math than the world uses. Jesus leaves the 99 sheep to go after the one lost one. The world does not operate that way. Jesus said that a widow's two pennies were more valuable than all the gold given in the temple in one day. The world would call that fuzzy math, but the Bible simply calls that grace. I love this parable. In the heading in most Bibles, it's called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now remember, those headings that are in your Bible were also added many, 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 many years later. And I think it actually should be called the parable of the generous boss. I think that's a little bit more accurate. So in this story of God's amazing grace, let's learn four important lessons I think Jesus was trying to teach his followers, but I think also speak to what we need to learn today. Lesson number one is a lesson about timing. It's never too late to come to God. Some workers started at 6 a.m. and worked all day. Others at various times, but there was one group who started at 5 p.m. and quitting time was at 6 p.m. I think those first workers represent folks who have been part of God's kingdom for most of their lives. Now, I'm a part of that group. I was going to church when I was in my mother's womb. I was born in the church. I've always been a part of the church. There's never been a part of my life where I was not a part of the church. I'm a part of those early day workers. And when I was 11 years old, I trusted Christ and became a part of God's family. I'm a part of those 6 a.m. workers. Now, most Christians come to Christ at an early age. But on rare occasions, there are some who come to Christ later on in life. Even more rare are what are called deathbed conversions. Now, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, a condemned thief looked at him and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was a powerful profession of faith because in that moment, Jesus did not look like a king. Anything but. Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Now, it's never too late to trust Jesus. Let me take that back for a second. There is a time it's too late to trust in Jesus. It's after you die. After you die, it's too late to trust in Jesus. But every other time, it's never too late. Someone observed about the thief on the cross that there is one deathbed conversion in the Bible. So if anybody ever argues that those don't count, you point to the thief on the cross. But if we point at that thief on the cross, we also have to point at that other thief on the cross. There was only one deathbed conversion at the cross that day. There was somebody else who was dying as well, and he chose not to believe. Jeff Stratton, pastor in Evansville, Indiana, a few years ago was called to visit a 93-year-old man who had terminal cancer. His name was Adolph Allen, and he had been a hard-living, hard-drinking union iron worker for most of his life. 2 minutes into their very first conversation, Adolf looked at Jeff and said this, "Is it fair for someone to live their whole life one way and then at the end of their life to ask God to take them into heaven?" After thinking for a minute, Pastor Jeff said this, "No, Adolf, it's not fair. It's not fair, but luckily for you and for me, God is not fair." Jeff shared the plan of salvation with him, and this 93-year-old man bowed his head and asked Jesus to come into his heart. 4 weeks later, Pastor Jeff preached Adolf's funeral. And at the funeral, Pastor Jeff talked about how some football games come down to a final play. And he said, "The team that's behind might have been outplayed the entire game, the whole game they've been behind. But on that last play, the quarterback heaves a Hail Mary pass down the field, and one of his offensive receivers goes up and catches it in the last seconds. They catch the ball, they score a touchdown, the game is over, and they win." Jeff said, "That's what happened here with Mr. Adolf. The devil was in the lead for most of his life, but the final score is what matters. The score was Jesus 1 and the devil 0. The only problem with deathbed conversions is that statistics tell us people die out of bed more than they do in bed. So don't wait if you're waiting. The Creator is walking through the world saying, "Hey, come work in my vineyard." That's what he's saying. Come work in my vineyard. But that's not fair. No, thank God, that's grace. Lesson number 2, a lesson about the gift. All who respond to God's invitation will receive all there is to receive. At the end of the day, all the workers receive the exact same amount, a full denarius, a full day's wage. All who are a part of God's kingdom receive the exact same thing. So what is a denarius for us? Well, I told you it's worth $100, but what does it mean to us? What is that amount? Now, some would immediately say, "Well, that's heaven, right? That's what that denarius means." I'm sorry, you'd be wrong. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Heaven is just one of the benefits of salvation. But the real treasure that Jesus is talking about here is a personal relationship with Him that lasts for eternity. Remember what Jesus said to that thief on the cross. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, when we hear that statement, oftentimes our mind goes to that last word, paradise, heaven. That's what our focus wants to be. But that's not the important words in that statement. If you focus on that, your focus is on the wrong place. The focus should be on the words, "with me." With me. All who trust Jesus, young, middle, or old, receive a personal relationship with Jesus that lasts forever because Jesus is that paradise. Being in His presence is that paradise. But let's be honest. Some of us who have been working in that vineyard all our lives bristle a little at this story. What about the rewards, David? Doesn't the Bible say we would be rewarded for our faithful service? Doesn't the Bible say that everyone, doesn't the Bible say not everyone will receive the same reward? Won't I get a little bit more than the other person? Doesn't Revelation talk about receiving crowns? Yes, but if you actually read Revelation a little bit closer, it says all those crowns that we're talking about, all those stones we're going to get, we thrust them at the ground at the altar of God. If you're about earning crowns and glory in heaven, you're in the wrong business. And that idea that we'll have a nicer mansion than other people while they have to live in a cabin on a hilltop, that's not biblical either. We will all be in our Father's house. which has many, many rooms, worshiping him in all his glory. It's in his presence that matter. And what's amazing about grace, Philip Yancey makes this observation about this parable. The worker's discontent aroused from the scandalous mathematics of grace. They would not accept that their employer had the right to do what he wanted with his money when it meant paying scoundrels 12 times what they deserved. Many Christians who study this parable identify with the employees who put in a full day's work rather than the add-ons at the end of the day. We like to think of ourselves as responsible workers, and the employer's strange behavior baffles us as it did the original hearers. We risk missing the story's point, that God dispenses gifts, not wages. If paid on the basis of fairness, we would all end up in hell. Remember, the wages of sin is death, but if you want grace, it's a gift that can't be earned. It's knowing God forever. It's not fair. No, thank God. It's grace. Lesson 3, a lesson about authority. God is sovereign. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do. One of my favorite parts in this parable is where the 12-hour workers start complaining to the owners. They've already got their money, and they start complaining. The owner smiles and says, basically, I paid you what you agreed to. If I want to be generous, then that is my right, because it is my vineyard, it is my money. Grace disturbs our sense of justice and our sense of fairness, but God owns the universe. And guess what? He always wins. We don't win. We could never come up over top of God. If we keep trying, guess what we're going to do? We're going to fall a lot, and we're going to be disappointed. He created it, and he created us. He rules and reigns and does as he pleases. Now, some business owners might think to themselves, well, that's not how I would run my business. Of course it isn't. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. My ways are higher than yours. When Michael Shearer was in seminary, he had an unusual experience with grace. He stayed up all night studying for his final exam in theology classes. He entered the classroom. He looked around and could tell who studied and who did not study, but he was ready to ace that exam. The professor came in and started reviewing some of the topics that were going to be on the exam, and he said the exam was a fill-in-the-blank exam. But the problem was, everything that the professor went over, he had not studied for. Professor said, now, we did not talk much about all these topics that I'm going over right now, but they were in the book, and I told you from the beginning of the semester that you were responsible for all the material in the book. He said, I'm going to pass out the exam. I'm going to put them face down until everyone has them. Keep it face down. Don't turn them over. Everyone has the same amount of time to finish it. Once all the exams were passed out, he said, okay, turn them over. And when all the students turned the exam over, they were shocked to see that all the blanks were filled in with answers. There was a note at the bottom of each exam that said, this is your final exam. All the answers are correct. You will receive a perfect score on the final. The reason that you passed this test is because the creator of this test took it for you. The reason that you passed this test is because the creator of the test was looking out for you. All the work you did or did not do in preparing for this exam did not help you get this A. You have just experienced grace. Michael said he learned more about God's grace that day than from any lecture that he ever sat through. The professor had the right to do what he did because it was his class. God has the right to be as generous as he wants to be. That's not fair. No, thank God. That's grace. Our final lesson today is a lesson about attitude. Be thankful for God's blessings without comparing yourself to others. The 12-hour workers grumbled because they compared their wages to the one-hour workers. Someone said that comparison is actually toxic to the soul. Abraham Lincoln was walking down the street with his young sons, Tab and Willie, and they were both howling with displeasure. A friend met him as they were walking along, and he said, "What's wrong with your two sons, Abe?" He said, "What's wrong with the boys is what's wrong with the world." He said, "I have three chestnuts in my hand, and they both want two." Many of us have worked in the Lord's vineyard for years. The temptation we must overcome is when some new person comes along and experiences God's blessings. The Bible warns against grumbling in James chapter 5. Can you think of a couple grumblers in the Bible who complained? What about Jonah and Nineveh? What about the older brother and the prodigal son? We have to smile and be thankful that someone else has been ushered into God's kingdom. No matter the differences that they might have from us, their look, their age, the path that brought them there, or their approach to the Father. Just be thankful for your salvation without begrudging those who are coming into the kingdom later. You might think or say, "That's just not fair." No, thank God. That's grace. One of my divinity school professors, Dr. Andy Wakefield, would end each of his classes with the same simple question: "So what? So what? This is a nice story, but so what? What should I do with this story? How can it change my life today?" Maybe one final story might help. This one from a pastor, Gary Carver. Now imagine for yourself this morning one of the workers in Jesus' parable who only worked for 1 hour, his name being Joseph, and that he has a wife named Sarah. It was past dark, and Sarah was getting nervous. As she swept the floor for the third time that day, she breathes a prayer, "God, where is my Joseph? It's late, and I know he did not find any work today. I went to the market this afternoon, and I saw him standing there with the other men looking for work. Where is he? Has something happened, or is he just ashamed to come home empty-handed once again?" At that moment, Rebecca, their 5-year-old daughter, pulls at her skirt. "Mommy, where's Daddy? I'm hungry. Is he bringing any food home?" At that moment, Joseph barrels through the door with a smile on his face and his arms full of food. He says, "Sarah, Becca, prepare the table. Look, I have bread, cheese, and figs. I also have honey for my two sweet girls." Sarah stares in astonishment. "But Joseph, where did you get all this? I know you didn't work because I saw you this afternoon standing with the unemployed at 4 p.m. What happened?" Joseph says, "Sarah, may God be praised. The most amazing thing happened. I was standing there thinking another day work, without food. I was discouraged, afraid to tell Becca that there was nothing to eat once again. Then at 5 p.m., Mr. Ben Yaakov, the rich man who owns the vineyard, showed up. He said, 'Why aren't you guys working?' We said, 'No one would hire us.' He said, 'Well, I'll hire you. Come on, you can work for me.' I knew since it was late in the day, I would probably earn only a few pennies, but maybe enough for a few pieces of bread. When we got there, a lot of men were working. I could tell some had been working all day long. I worked for only an hour when Mr. Ben Yaakov called us all to be paid. Can you believe it? He paid those of us who worked an hour first. I was first in line, and when I held out my hand, I could not believe my eyes. He gave me a denarius, a full day's wage. At first, I said, 'Mr. Yaakov, did you make a mistake? I only worked for 1 hour.' He smiled and shrugged his shoulders and said, 'I'm a generous man. and I have plenty to give, so just take it. I know it does not make sense, but he paid all the workers the same. He paid the same to the 1 hour as the 12-hour workers. Now, the others griped about it at first, but after a few minutes, they were glad to be paid. I was so happy. I took the money, ran to the market, and bought all this food. Let's thank God, then we'll dig in. As Sarah set the table, she looked at the food and said, "But Joseph, there are only 3 loaves here, and the cheese has been cut in half. I know food prices. You should have been able to buy 4 loaves and a full wedge of cheese. Where is the rest of the food?" Joseph hung his head like a boy caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He said, "I did not think you would notice. I hope you don't mind, but on the way home with all the food, I passed the widow Elizabeth's house. I knew she didn't have much, so I stopped and gave her one of the loaves and some of the cheese. I hope you don't mind." Sarah smiled and wiped a tear from her eye and said, "Of course I don't mind, Joseph. You are a kind and generous man. Now let's bow our heads and thank God." The so what is simple. Because God has been unreasonably generous to you, now you are blessed to be inexplicably generous to others. Maybe you can do something nice to or for someone who has wronged you in the past. Maybe you can be generous to or for someone who has no ability to reciprocate it. And you might say to yourself in that moment, "But David, that's just not fair. That's not fair." No, but thank God, that's grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a powerful parable that teaches us the basics about grace. How soon we can forget the wonderful grace that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we be bearers of that grace in the world in which we live in the daily walk that you lead us in the people that we encounter, and the call that you placed on our lives. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing our final hymn today, our closing hymn, maybe for the very first time today, you understand what that grace is all about. Maybe for that first time you recognize the grace that Jesus Christ has given you, like that thief standing beside him or hanging beside him on the cross. I'll be down front to talk with you about what it means to follow him forever. Maybe you're looking for a church family that seeks to minister out of that grace. Maybe First Baptist Elon is that home for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of our family here at First Baptist. Or maybe just today you've been struggling with that concept. Things are just not fair. It's just not fair. Maybe that grace has gripped you today. Pray where you are. Come pray with me. Come to the altar. Whatever you need to do, make that decision today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, "Make Me a Servant." As you leave this place today, go out into a world that needs grace. Be the bearer of that grace. Go in peace.